John chapter number 9, where we're going to take our reading from this morning. Again, just thankful to be in the house of the Lord, just thankful for His presence. Man, it feels good to be here this morning. I struggled with this scripture this morning. This week, I've studied in two or three different places asking God to touch, and I'm not getting on my cell phone. I've got to have it here in a minute to read something, so I'm trying to get it ready. But I struggled with this scripture this morning, and then I come to Sunday school. By the way, if you're not coming to Sunday school, we have an awesome Sunday school program at our church. We got classes from the teeny tiny ones to the really old ones. And if you're really old, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying we got it all the way in that gap. But we've also started a new converts class. And you don't have to be a new convert. When a lot of times when people say that they think, well, that means I had to got saved last year. No, not necessarily. You know, there's been a lot of times in my Christian life when I look at where I am spiritually, as far as how mature I am, then I still need to be in a new converts class. And you know, if maybe you haven't been coming to Sunday school and you say, well, I think I want to come and try that, but I've been saved for a long time. Come on. Shane's really excited about it right now. The new converts that are in there are really excited about it. And it's a real good class with a lot of discussion. And I say a lot of discussion. Shane forces them to talk a little bit. So there's some discussion that happens, but I encourage you to come to Sunday school. But in our Sunday school class this morning, Lynn didn't have any idea. He just came and gave us what God had given him this week. And as I was sitting there listening this morning, God gave me some confirmation that I'm preaching what He wants me to preach. You know, a lot of times, as a pastor, I want to come to Sunday morning service with something new and exciting. I want to come and preach something that you've never heard. I want you to leave here and go, wow, he's so smart. That's not going to happen. Leanne Hooker has already let me know that Kirk's a lot smarter than I am. So she made it real plain to me one night. I'm just picking at Leanne, but Kirk is a lot smarter than I am. But you want to come and you want to give somebody something that just go, oh, that was amazing. Well, I want to tell you something. If you don't find the Word of God amazing, there's nothing that I can do to make it amazing. And I don't know about you, but I've heard these songs sung this morning that the choir sung before, and it still blesses my heart. And if you can remember my sermons for the last 2 years, hey, did you know that Wednesday will be 2 years that I've officially been your pastor? Man, I'm tickled to death. Look what God has done in 2 years. Man, it's been amazing just to be a little part of that. But as I've come, if you can remember all of my messages, or if you're one of those people that makes notes in your Bible, you can probably have a note that I've preached in this scripture before. But you know, I've preached in the same scripture before and God gave me two completely different thoughts. I'm glad that we're reading the living Word of God and that He'll speak to us the way He wants to speak. But I really struggled with this message this week, and I've come to find out that a lot of times when you struggle with something or you feel like Satan is attacking you with something that you're trying to do for God, get ready, because God's getting ready to bless. And Satan's trying to stop that. So I ask you just to pray for me this morning as we get in to the message, that I'll be exactly where God wants me to be, and that I'll preach what God's laid upon my heart. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, God, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to be together. God, thank you for this time that you've allowed me to pastor this church, God. And Lord, I'm sure not worthy. God, I don't know why anybody would want to hear me preach, but God, I pray for as long as you allow me to stand, that you'll help me, God, to always do my best to preach your word, to rightly divide it, and God, just to give the truth and let your Holy Spirit do the work, God, that there's nothing in me, God, that it's all in you. God, thank you for what you're doing in our church. God, thank you for the way that you're moving. God, I thank you for being here with us this morning. God, I pray to your Father for every need that we have here today, God. I know every family has needs of some kind. God, I pray that through your word, God, that you'll meet those needs. God, most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that God, they'll see the need for salvation. They'll have that small measure of faith and they'll accept you before it's everlasting too late. Again, we ask you just to be here with us, just to bless, and may you be glorified. And all these things that we ask in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter number 9, we will begin reading with verse number 1. We've already got past the first 4 or 5 words here. And Jesus passed by. Man, that would preach over and over again. Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. I want you to notice that when Jesus passed by and he sees this man that is blind from his birth, you know, a lot of times when we see people that are different from us, we see people who don't meet a standard that we think is normal, that all of a sudden we begin to question why they're in the shape that they're in. Or even sometimes when things happen in our life and it takes us out of the equation of normality as everybody sees it, we begin to wonder, God, why am I in this? God, what is going on that I'm in the middle of this? But Jesus passed by this blind man, and I want you to look what his disciples said. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? See, even Jesus' disciples, when they pass by this man that is different, that is not normal, that don't meet their standard of being normal, they begin to ask Jesus, well, now what's wrong? Something is definitely wrong that this man is blind. Because you see, he's not normal like me. He don't look like me. He don't have the same attributes that I do. So there's definitely something wrong with this guy. But sometimes just because something is different in your life doesn't mean that something is wrong. A lot of times in our life, when something is going different or it's not meeting the normal standards of everybody around you, and I'll go ahead and speak this to the teenagers right now, that if you're just being normal like everybody else, you're probably not walking where God wants you to walk. That sometimes normal is not a good thing. But here this young man, the Bible tells us that he's blind and the disciples see him, and all of a sudden somebody had to have sinned in order for him to be in the shape that he's in. Have you ever walked through a trial, a storm, or a trouble and began to wonder, why is God punishing me to walk where I'm walking? Have you ever questioned and said, God, why are you punishing me? Because I'm going through a trouble, a trial, or some kind of storm. And God, there's no reason for me to be in the shape that I'm in. There's no reason that I'm not in a normal situation. There's no reason that I'm not normal, God. You must be trying to punish me. You must be trying to correct a mistake in my life. And I'll admit there's been times in my life when I've made bad decisions and I had to go through a storm and it was God's correction in my life. But not always is that the case. And the Bible tells us here that the disciples see this man. They see that he's blind, and all of a sudden something has to be wrong in his life. Something there, he must have sinned. Somebody must have sinned in order for him to be in the shape that he's in. But I want you to look this morning. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, and Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Jesus says, don't look at him like he's done something wrong, or that his family has sinned, or that he's being punished just because he's going through this trouble, this trial. Don't look at him like he's being corrected. He says in the latter part of verse number 3, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus said, I have created him just like this for a purpose. I have a purpose that he's blind. I have a purpose that he's going through what he's going through. I have a purpose for what we would call the trouble in his life, or the storm, or the trial in his life. I have a purpose. And he is exactly where I've put him, and I know exactly where he's at, and I know exactly what I'm going to do. See, a lot of times God's doing things in our life that we don't understand. God's thoughts are not my thoughts, and God's ways are not my ways. And there's a lot of times that in my life I'm going, okay, God, why am I going through this? Why is this trouble in my life? Why is this trial in my life? And he says, Josh, you're exactly where I want you. Just hang on. Just be what I've asked you to be. You see, that when you look at this blind man here in the Bible tells us that he was born blind, but it does not tell anything about this young man trying to struggle to heal his blindness. It doesn't tell about him going to physicians to see if he could do anything about his blindness. It doesn't even tell about him sitting and begging. It doesn't show him struggling to correct his blindness. And a lot of times in our Christian walks, we find ourselves in a place that we feel like that we're not normal, that things are, we're in the middle of a trouble, a trial, or a storm, and we're struggling, doing our best, giving all of our effort to get out of it. To get in out of the storm, to get out of the trouble. When all in all, God don't want us to struggle to get out of it. He doesn't want us worried about why we're in it. He just says, I want you to be there because the works of God are fixing to be manifest in your life. I'm going to get glory out of your situation. But it's hard for us to accept that, ain't it? It's hard for us to say, well, I'm in this trial. Now, God, you be glorified. It's hard for us to accept I'm in the middle of this trouble, or I'm in the middle of this storm. But God, I thank you that I'm right in the middle of this storm. It's hard to have that much confidence in God, even though he's been there for us time and time again. But the Bible tells us that Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, look, he hasn't sinned, neither has his parents sinned. He said, but that the works of God may be made manifest in his life. So this young man, he's not struggling to get out of his situation. How many times in your life have you been in the middle of a storm, or some kind of trouble, or some kind of trial, and you have exhausted every effort that you have to get out of it, to solve it, to be the one that made a way to get out of it, to fix it? How many times have you done that when all in all, God is just saying, be still right where you're at. I've put you there for a purpose. You're in this thing for my glory. Just hang on and see the glory of God. It's hard to do that. We're fixers. We're solvers. We want to take care of everything. But the Bible says that this man was just living exactly where God had put him, and he may have not even known it, but he was waiting for God to work a miracle in his life. Now look, sometimes we have trouble saying that we're waiting on a miracle from God, because we feel like if God doesn't miraculously cure our loved one, if God doesn't miraculously take care of the situation that we're in, then God failed. And we think that it's up to us then to explain God's failure. You know what? God don't need me to explain anything for him. God doesn't need me to make excuses for him. God doesn't need me to be scared to say that he's going to handle a situation. God needs me to put my faith and my trust in him and give it all to him and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. God, you get glory out of it. God, you use me. Let me be right where you've put me for your purpose. This young man, the Bible tells us that he is there that the works of God should be made manifest in him. How many times have you been in a situation where maybe a loved one needed a healing touch? They were sick. They were emotionally sick. They were physically sick, or whatever the case is. And when somebody says, I don't know what's going to happen, and you're afraid to say, well, I know that God's going to take care of it, because it, taking care of it to us is that, hey, in a week or so, they're going to be better and they're going to be up walking around and everything's going to be wonderful. But that's not always how God takes care of things. That's not always what God's doing. See, this man had been blind for quite a while. God didn't, and here in a minute, we're going to see what God done in his life. But I want you to see something else first. But so many times we're afraid that we're going to have to explain why God didn't heal our loved one. Why God didn't make our situation better. Why God didn't put our marriage back together. We think that we've got to explain all of that. And it's not up to us to explain. It's not up to us to explain why our kids hadn't come back to God. It's not up to us to explain anything in our lives. It is up to us to say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I may not see what you're doing. I don't even know what I'm waiting on, God. This young man had no clue that Jesus was fixing to come by his way this day. He didn't know what he was waiting on. And you may not know what you're waiting on this morning, but I promise you that God knows exactly where you are, and God knows exactly the situation that you're in, and God's going to handle it in God's time, and God's time and God's way is going to be perfect. And on this side of eternity, you may not know what it is, but I assure you on the effect of God's word that one day when you stand with God, you will understand what he did and why he did it and that it was perfect. And that's easy for me to say because I'm not going through what you're going through this morning. But let me encourage you with that while I'm not. Because next week you may be coming to me while I'm in the middle of something saying, preacher, let me encourage you. While you're going through this, God's way is perfect. God's mind is not your mind. But here this young man, he's sitting on the side of the road. And they say, well, what has he done wrong? Nobody's done anything wrong. He says, but the works of God should be made manifest. Let's get down to verse number 6. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go. Now, wait a minute. We got a blind man sitting on the side of the road. He already cannot see. He already has no vision. And along comes Jesus, and Jesus says that I'm going to work a work in him that the works of God may be made manifest. And he spits on the ground, and he makes up some clay, and he puts it over the guy's eyes. The guy's already blind. He can't see. It looks like God just added more trouble to him than what he already had. He told him to go. Well, he already can't see because he's blind. But even if he could see, if his blindness was cured right then, now he's got mud on his eyes and he couldn't see anyway. Have you ever been in the middle of a storm and you felt like God was fixing to do something really great in your life, and then all of a sudden it felt like it was covered up by something else? You felt like more trouble come? Have you ever been to the place where you thought there's nothing else that can go wrong in my life, and then something else goes wrong in your life? I've been there. I'm sure you have. Has it been too long ago? A brother in the Lord was calling me and texting me, and he said, you ain't going to believe what happened today. You ain't going to believe what happened today. There nothing else could happen. And then he called me and he said, something else happened. You ain't going to believe what happened today. And the whole time I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. I don't have an answer. And I didn't. And I still don't have an answer. But sometimes it feels like things just keep piling on. And things keep just piling on and piling on. And you're like, God, I cannot handle anymore. But aren't you glad that we have a God that loves you that says He'll never put more on you than you can bear? I'm glad that God, He says, if I put something on you, I'm going to give you the grace to go through what you're going through. But He spits on the ground and He puts this clay on the guy's eyes and He says, now I want you to go and I want you to wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went His way therefore and washed and came seeing. See, God was fixing to do a work in his life, and he didn't know what that work was, but he just followed God and listened to God. You know, this young man could have been in exactly the opposite place. He could have been sitting there on the side of the road, and when Jesus come by and said, I'm going to put this spit on your eyes, and I'm going to put this clay on your eyes, and I want you to go wash. And he could have said, nope, I'm not going, God. Look what you've already done to me. I've had enough. And you say, well, preacher, they ain't no way. Hey, if we'd all be honest, we've been in places in our spiritual life before where we said, I don't know whether serving God is worth it or not. If you've not been there yet, I pray that you never do, but at some time in your life, you will probably be there in your spiritual life. That I don't know whether serving God is worth this or not. And that's where this young man could have been. But I want you to notice, he got up and he went and washed. And he washed his eyes out. And the Bible tells us that he came back seeing. And it was all so that God could get glory out of his life. You may be here this morning. You may be feeling like, God, I was blind already. Here you've added more to me. I don't know why I'm going through. Am I being punished, God? What are you doing to me? And God may be saying, just hang on. I'm fixing to get some glory. Just hang on. I'm fixing to do something in your life that's going to give you, that's going to give me some glory. And you say, well, preacher, why in the world are you preaching that this week? Why in the world is this on your mind? Well, I want to tell you what, that we've got some people in our church who are going through some things. And when I look at them, I say, I don't know how they're still standing. I don't know how they're still being strong. I don't know how they're still going on for the glory of God. But somehow or the other, they're still standing. And God, hey, God didn't fix their situation. God didn't miraculously heal yet. God hadn't reached down and done some kind of magic trick over the situation, but I can start to see God getting glory. I can start to see God being manifested through the situation. I can start seeing some amazing things happen that probably if you're in the middle of a storm, you're not seeing them yet. But I want you to take notice here that when this young man went and washed his eyes and he'd come back and he could see, I'm sure that he could tell the difference. But everybody else around him could tell the difference also. They began to talk. They actually began to wonder who Jesus was. They began to say, what in the world has happened here? How in the world? The Pharisees began to question, how in the world is this young man now seeing? Look, turn with me to verse number 25. They had already questioned his parents. They had already said, I don't know if this man's evil or if this man's good. He must be a sinner. We need to give God glory. But I want you to look in verse number 25. When they asked the young man who was blind, and after he went and he washed his eyes out in the pool of Siloam. That may just be down the road here, by the way. He said, as he come back, they asked him, is this man a sinner or what's going on? He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I cannot explain to you what God's going to do in your situation. I cannot explain to you how God's going to get glory. I cannot explain to you what it's going to do to you in your life. But what I do know is that, just like this blind man said, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But where I was blind, now I see that one day God's going to get glory out of your situation. Hang on. Be right where God's put you. Look up. Trust. Have faith in God, and God will get glory out of what you're going through. Just trust Him. Now you say, well, preacher, I'm still not with you. Well, listen. The other morning, I got a phone call that Sister Rose had left and gone to glory. And you know, it breaks my heart to think about the pain that her family is going through. And man, what an emptiness it leaves. When all of a sudden a loved one is gone, you spent your whole life with them and all of a sudden they're gone. And you say, well, how can good come of that? We watched a sister fight cancer. We watched her go through the treatments. And man, I was praying for God to heal. I was praying for God to do a work that was just amazing. I was praying for us to be sitting here giving God glory because He had healed her and that she had beaten cancer and that she was going to be here with us for a long time. That's the way I wanted to give God glory. And that's what makes sense to us. And now that God didn't do that and God took her home, it's not up to me to explain why God didn't do that. But even as I was talking to Bridget the other morning on the phone, and I said, Bridget, I'm really sorry for the hurt that you're feeling. Bridget, I'm praying for you. I'm not sorry that Rose is no longer suffering. I'm not sorry for that. And I began to talk to her. She said, yeah, but you know what? She said, when Mama left here, she said, now she's in heaven with her husband. Now she's in heaven with a baby that she had lost. God is getting glory even through what we consider tragic and what we consider heartbreaking times. This morning, I want you to know something, that Friday morning about 4 o'clock, that yeah, we may have wanted healing for Rose. We may have wanted God to leave her here for a little while longer for our enjoyment. But I want you to know that if you could talk to Rose this morning, that she wouldn't come back to this for anything in the world. I know she was concerned for her family. I know that she was concerned for them. But as she woke up in glory Friday morning, I want you to know that God got complete glory out of her life, that she is standing there with Jesus Christ this morning, that she's in a place that she wouldn't come back to this for anything in the world. Her pain is gone. Her tears are gone. She don't have to hurt anymore. God's getting glory out of the situation. Wasn't the way that I wanted Him to get glory, but God will get glory if we just allow Him to have His way. Man, aren't you glad that even if you die, God's getting glory out of your life. And you know what? God's going to take Rose's life that she lived here, and He's going to continue getting glory out of it, even though she's gone. Well, then you look around, you say, yeah, but there's other people in our church that are hurting too. There are other people who are going through things. And Jason Hooker and his dad, man, what a sad situation. And even as a church, as we've come around the altar and we've prayed and we've asked God to work, sometimes we're even afraid to ask God to perform a miracle because we're afraid if God don't do it, then it looks like we didn't have faith or whatever. But as we come and we prayed and we asked God to work and for God to just change the circumstances, for God to move on their family, well, from my understanding, they're going to fly his dad to Greensboro tonight so that he's closer. Praise the Lord for that he's not trying to travel back and forth to California to see his dad. And as far as I know, he's pretty well stable, but he's still not coherent, if I understand everything correctly. And you say, well, still, how is God getting glory out of that? God could reach down and he could touch Michael and everything could be all right. God could heal him laying right there and he could get up and fly on a plane home and walk. Sure, God could do that. My God's big enough to do anything. And you look and you say, well, why is God not doing that? Why was this man born blind? I don't know. I can't explain that to you. But what I want to say is when you're in the middle of something like this, don't question yourself, what did I do wrong? What did Mama do wrong? What did Daddy do wrong? What did I do wrong? Don't question that. You look and say, God, for whatever reason I'm in the middle of this, now I want to open up to your glory. God, now I want you to take this that your works may be made manifest in my life, that somebody else may see how good God is. Preacher, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. Well, until you've experienced the grace of God in that situation, you won't. But I want to read to you a text that I got the other day when I was in a time that I was having sort of a rough day. When a lot was on my mind, a lot of things happening, I looked down, my phone dings. And my phone dings enough that sometimes I want to take it and throw it when it dings. And I looked down and it was a text from Jason. And you're looking and you're saying, now God, he's in the middle of a storm. And God, I don't know how you're going to get glory out of this. And then you read something like this. Worthless sinner saved by grace, living through faith. No matter how hard it seems, I am so blessed. My joy is not the devil's to take. Praise God, the day is coming when this storm clouds will lift and the S-O-N will shine on my life again. Walking in the middle of a storm, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of a trial. Look, he didn't know. He was just expressing his heart to me. But God got glory out of that because God took my circumstances and began to change them. And I began to think, hey, what I'm worried about ain't nothing. What I'm going through ain't nothing. And God's getting glory because you know what? Jason has met people in California that he's been able to talk to God about. They said they listened to our broadcast in the middle of a waiting room in California. And he said that everybody just got quiet and listened to our church service in the middle of California. And we don't know where we're at right now. Somebody could be listening anywhere. But wherever you're at, in a storm, in a trouble, in a trial, God knows where you're at. And just as this young man said, He said, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. I can't tell you. Only thing that I do know is I once was blind, but now I see. I cannot explain the glory of God to you. I cannot explain how God's going to use your circumstance to get glory. The only thing that I can say is God knew where you were at. This is kind of what Lynn was talking about in Sunday school this morning. God knew where you are today. He knew that you were going to be there before the foundations of the world. Don't try to understand it. Just have faith that God knows exactly where you're at. And sometimes God has to put us in a place to where he can use us for his glory. God has to put us to a place that we finally say, okay, God, I'm looking unto you. I can't do anything. I can't fix it. I can't solve it. So God, I'm looking unto you. Use this to get glory out of my life. Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitation to him this morning. I don't know what your circumstance is in your life. I don't know where you're walking. Everybody here, hey, I promise you that whatever you're walking in the middle of, that somebody else here in this church has probably either walked there before or they're walking through something that's significantly similar to what you're walking through. And no matter what kind of facade we've put on this morning by putting on our dress breeches and our shirts and our tie or our dresses and our earrings and our hair all dude'd up, no matter what kind of facade that you're putting on this morning, somewhere in your life there is trouble. Somewhere in your life there's things that are not perfect. I would like to say that me and mine are perfect and man, just everything is just hunky-dory and we walk around the house singing Amazing Grace and quoting scripture and man, everything's just wonderful. I go to bed, this is what I sleep in every night, just right here. I would like to say that, but you know what? The real world just knocks it out of you sometimes. Trouble knocks it out of you sometimes. Whatever trouble you're going in, don't always look and say, I'm in the middle of this trouble because I've done something wrong. Don't always look and say, I'm in the middle of this trouble because I've walked away from God. Because I want to tell you something. If you're in the middle of trouble because you walked away from God, you already know that. You ain't got to question that. You already know that that's the reason you're there. But if you're looking this morning, you're in the middle of something and you're saying, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what God's doing. Stop for just a minute. Stop struggling to get out of it and to fix it. And just stop and say, God, if you're trying to get glory out of my life through this right here, let me be open to it. God, let me trust you. God, use me in any way that you want to. And God will get glory out of your life. You know what? That's the whole purpose that he left me here. If there wasn't a purpose for me being here, with the day that I got saved, he would have took me on home to heaven. But he didn't. So he said, now your job and your responsibility is to give me glory with your life and to point others to the cross of Christ. Are we willing to do that even in trouble? Are we willing to say, God, even if I got to be a little less than what everybody else considers normal, I've been that all my life, a little less than normal. But even if I've got to be a little less than normal, if I've got to walk through something, God, in order to give you glory, God, I'm willing to walk there. Now look, that's getting on a deep level right there, and I'm not sure that I'm even ready for that. But God, whatever you want to use my life for that I may give you glory, God, I'm ready for that. And God, I want to give you glory. Sometimes we want everything to be so rosy and so peachy that it's hard for God to get glory out of our lives. As you stand to your feet this morning, like I said, I don't know where you're at. Don't know what you're walking in. But if you're in the middle of something and you don't know why you're there and you just want God to use it for his glory no matter what, but you need help accepting that. You need help to quit struggling with it. You need help to quit questioning it. Come and talk to God about it. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you what he wants to do. He wants to get glory out of your life by changing who you are. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to become your Lord and your Savior. And it's as simple as coming to an altar and asking Christ to forgive you and to come into your heart. Or maybe you're just here this morning and you know somebody that's walking in the middle of a storm you know somebody that's in the middle of a fight, you don't know why they're there, but you want to come pray for them and say, God, if you're trying to get glory, God, we just want to give you all the glory and all the praise. If God's speaking to your heart, this altar's open. Come on this morning.